Welcome to Food Talk. I'm Teresa.
And I'm Pat. We're part of North Coast Food Web, working to build healthy communities in our region through local food and agriculture.
Today on Food Talk, we're talking with Eric Jenkins and Jennifer Chapman from the new Bowie Beer Company. Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
It's great to have you guys here. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself? How'd you get here, first of all?
I moved out from Portland probably when I was like 17 and started cooking at the Shelburne Inn in Seaview back then, and it's now called the Shoalwater. And that's how I started. Actually, when Jamela Lucas had it, who had the Ark for years, they had the Shelburne first, and I had worked with her at Jake's Crawfish in Portland, and she had preceded me in moving to the coast, and soon after I followed. So,
wow! Nice. So you've been here ever since.
Ever since, yeah.
Nice. What about you, Jennifer?
I came to Oregon about 15 years ago, actually, in the Coast Guard. I think longer than that now. And just fell in love with it here and never went back.
I have to wonder how much that happens.
I think it happens quite often.
It's a very attractive rest area.
It is.
So, and now you're part of this new brewing company. So this is the third brewing company opening up in Astoria. This is kind of amazing.
Yeah,
we are sort of this wonderful nexus for brewing. So tell us a little bit about how did this get started and how did you guys get involved?
We were approached by Luke Colvin, I would say, almost 2 years ago now. Mm-hmm. And he told us about this dream of his to open this brewery up in Astoria. And we had been associated. We were on Friends of the Food Bank board with him. And we cooked at his wedding and at a fundraiser, so he had tried some of our food before. And I'm thinking maybe that is what convinced him to approach us in the first place.
Yeah. And so, tell people a little bit about this new brewery. Where is it located? And
it's at the foot of 7th and 8th Street. Probably the front door would be closer to 7th, I guess, but. Uh-huh. And the building's entirely over the water, and so goes.
So it's actually out over the water.
Yeah,
it's
entirely on pilings. So.
And what did that building used to be?
Like it's been a number of things, but most recently a fish processing plant for Bornstein Seafood Company. So, I would say that when we walked through it a couple years ago. It had been vacant for, I think, 8 years at that point, and it was hard to see the vision of what it is today back then, but somebody certainly had it in mind, because it's turned out to be a stunning, decor and location for a restaurant, brewery, and lounge.
So, and you're right on the river. You were mentioning earlier that you see the bar pilots go past you.
We do. They actually buzz the dining room windows on their way to meet the ship, which they almost meet right in the middle of the dining room windows. So you could throw a tennis ball and probably hit them. They're that close. So, or a burger.
Well, they might welcome that.
Yes.
And when did you guys open?
We opened on Valentine's Day.
Nice.
So how's it been going? That's a pretty busy month.
It is. It's been very busy, but busy in a very good way. Been very happy with everything that's been going on there.
And so, is the whole restaurant open now? Or
no.
Just the tap room at this point. They're finishing off the dining room, and that will be open sometime in the spring.
But your kitchen is complete, so...
For the most part, yes.
For the most part, yeah. Might be a few additions to it.
So what kind of food are you focusing on at this...
Well, I guess, I don't know. What do you say, Jen? We've always tried to be a little off-center on what we cook and what we like to offer people to do things that you don't normally see.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the things that we have on the menu now that we're excited about are the quahog clams that we're getting out of Coos Bay. They're much like a large steamer clam.
Okay.
And if you were to just steam one open and eat it whole, it's kind of a big mouthful of clam, a little too much, to be honest with you. But what we're having done is they're being basically split in half. So you have two half shells out of one clam, and the meat's distributed evenly on each side.
Okay.
And then we're topping that with homemade garlic butter and putting them in the salamander and cooking them on the half shell. So it's kind of a different preparation on a different shellfish that we're not used to seeing around here.
The exciting thing about those is that they are wild and they're all hand-harvested.
Yes. Wow. Yeah. Yes. Awesome. And is that a species that's kind of unique to Coos Bay? I mean, is it just a larger
It is. They seem to have a ton of them in Coos Bay. And I know they might have some in Tillamook Bay, but I haven't heard of mm-hmm. them being around this far north. So we're also using that same clam. They're actually, the people we're getting them from are taking them out of the shell, so it's just the clam meat. And we dust them in rice flour and some spices and deep fry them for fried clams. And so not only are they gluten-free, but it isn't like the little fried mystery clam that you buy pre-breaded and frozen and not quite sure Chewy. Where that clam came from. These are actual clam strips, and they're just delicious. So.
Actually, I wonder about that sometimes. You just mentioned that they're gluten-free, and I know that's a big mm-hmm. deal sometimes. How hard is that to plan a menu knowing that there's like these issues like this out there? I mean,
it takes some forethought. There's a lot of things out there that have gluten in it that you'd never guess had it. So just double-checking even things like mayonnaise and stuff like that to make sure that there's no wheat in it, because soy sauces have wheat in it. It's and a lot of people who have allergies, they just can't eat that stuff. And so planning using rice flour instead, and the oil we're cooking in is a rice bran oil, which is a lot better for you. Just kind of got to think ahead of time and meet those needs, because that's becoming a bigger need lately.
Yeah. What are some of the challenges that you guys are finding? I mean, it sounds like you guys have been busy, and that's great. I mean, is that just like you're able to keep up? You've got good staff?
We're very fortunate to have started off with a great staff. But I think, you know, for those of us who have worked in the restaurant industry, it's never ending, and so that's the biggest challenge, to keep it fresh and be able to change your menus and run specials to where you don't get stuck in a rut doing mm-hmm. the same thing, not only for us but for our employees too. You know it's very important that it continue, the process continue to be a learning for everybody, and that just helps keep everybody, you know, excited.
I'm wondering, I'm just thinking about like partnering the food with the beer that's being brewed.
We are at this point, I think two dishes on the menu: the bison burger that we serve, which is our, so far, our most popular item. When we actually are grilling it, we make a beer butter, so a compound butter using our beer from the brewery. And we will baste the burger with that beer butter while it's cooking. And then it is topped with caramelized onions that have been deglazed with another type of beer that we have. So actually that dish alone has two of our beers in it. But in the same respect, we don't want to put beer in everything. We don't want to overdo it. I mean,
beer's not gluten-free either.
And beer's not gluten-free. So, you know, the beers that they're brewing are excellent, and they kind of stand on their own merit there. Mm-hmm. And we certainly like to incorporate it into the menu a little at a time and try not to, you know, make it a total beer menu.
So one of the things that our listeners are always interested in is fresh and local, and you were talking about the clams that you're using. What else might we be looking forward to on your menu?
Well, we've always prided ourselves on using fresh local things, whether it's produce or seafood. And one of the things that we have going for us is we have a direct relationship with Bornstein's seafood processing plant. So we're basically able to call in the morning and stop by and ask what's coming off the boat right then. And I, you know, I'm one of those kind of cooks where I like to play around with kind of, I don't want to say odd, but just things.
No, it's they're odd. But in a good way.
We can say that.
Just things that people aren't used to seeing, like skate, you know, is a ray fish that we get off the coast here, and it's delicious. And so we'll play around with stuff like that. And
so we should expect some fun things on the specials then.
Oh, always, yes, always. Great. And actually, we have Warrington Deep Sea, which is Bornstein's retail outfit, has a brand new smoking smoker at their place, and they are smoking salmon bellies for us, which are on the menu. And the belly Yum. Meat, in my opinion, of a salmon has always been the best part of the fish. And so to be able to offer that smoked is great. We're just very happy about it.
How is that different from like what you would, when you go to the store and you buy smoked salmon versus like smoked, what you're talking about, the belly? Is that a different part of the fish? What?
Well, it is. It's the belly, and the belly holds most of the fat in the salmon.
So it's a more fatty smoked.
So it's more fatty, in my opinion, more tender and moist, mm-hmm. And not dried out. And you know, when we're talking salmon fat, that's omega-3, so it's healthy for you too. So yeah.
Is that more the smoked salmon where it'd be in chunks rather than like thin pieces?
It could be in chunks. We just actually serve the whole belly strip. So you can actually, and it's got skin on it, and you know, the way it naturally comes. And so we serve a creme fraiche, a dill creme fraiche with it that we make from scratch. Fresh sliced radishes.
Cucumber, capers, thinly sliced red onion, and some chopped egg.
And
with a grilled flatbread.
With grilled naan bread. So it's kind of a party on a plate, and you can just kind of kind of mix things up and kind of dig in. So, yeah.
I think that might make a great title on the menu, Party on a Plate.
I'll keep that in mind for the next one, yeah.
So you mentioned that your burger was really popular. What else is getting ordered a lot?
Well, the cheese curds, definitely.
Cheese curds. Okay, explain that.
They're deep fried cheese curds, and we make our own tempura batter from scratch, and it actually does have beer too, I just realized. So there are a few things that have beer.
Okay, but back up. So cheese curds, just explain this to me. What is cheese curd?
They're the byproduct of the cheese making process.
And it's a very young cheese, so it's not molded or aged at all. Tillamook Cheese Factory has a lot of them.
In their
retail shop. They're very popular. But we're getting Ellingsworth, which is a cooperative farm in Wisconsin. That's where we're getting ours. And battering them in the beer tempura batter. And we've got a few different homemade sauces to go with them, a honey mustard, a ranch, and a Spanish romesco.
And I would say easily the romesco is the most popular with them. And that's made with roasted red bell peppers and almonds and garlic
and sherry,
lots of good stuff. So again, not a sauce that you would normally see with deep fried food around here. So that's just kind of twist we like to put on it. But if you like deep fried cheese, they're the best.
Oh,
yeah.
Deep fried cheese just seems kind of dangerous but wonderful all at the same time. So where did you learn to cook? I mean, I'm hungry. I'm salivating as we're talking, and I'm just realizing this is sort of amazing. Like and it fascinates me too. Like where did you learn to cook? Where did this come from in you?
Well,
in both of you?
My mom cooked. My mom raised three of us on her own, and I have a younger brother, younger sister. So she obviously was cooking for us a lot, and not always the things I liked. She loved to cook us liver, which I never, still to this day, I don't care for.
Liver's,
but
liver's a tough one.
We had a black lab that would be right at my lap underneath the tablecloth, so I would get rid of it one way or the other. But she was a great cook, and then I started getting busboy jobs at a young age to help support her and my brother and sister. And at Jake's Crawfish, one of the cooks didn't show up one night, and they asked me to put on an apron, and been cooking ever since. So,
wow,
yeah,
That's a great way to start. What about you, Jennifer?
Well, I've always just kind of gravitated towards it. My father's side of the family was good Southern cooking, and my mom's side of the family was more French. Uh-huh. And so I kind of got both worlds, and I think I've been doing that as jobs my whole life, and then in the Coast Guard as well.
So you cooking in the Coast
mm-hmm.
Guard?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
For 4 years.
Oh, that's exciting.
And then I met Eric, and he hired me to help him at the school. He was all by himself there, and off we went.
Wow. So we're just going to take a brief break for a station identification. I just want to let everyone know that you're listening to Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM, and 89.5 KTCB Tillamook. And we're also streaming live at coastradio.org. And if you're just joining us today, we are speaking with Eric Jenkins and Jennifer Chapman. And they are in charge of the kitchen, the chefs at the new Bowie Beer Company in Astoria. It's just opened in early February and sounds delicious and wonderful. So one of the things that we often try, I know I feel like we've been talking about food and you've been telling us all these amazing recipes, but we do kind of want to, we love to ask our listeners, our guests about what they're cooking now, what's in season, what do you like to make, recipes you can maybe talk our listeners through. And I'm just kind of wondering, you know, I mean, it sounds like you cook amazing food at the restaurant.
What are you cooking at home?
What do you cook at home? Do you cook
Not
at home?
Not much lately. We've been working straight for quite a while now, getting this thing on board, and long hours each day. And although when we have time, we love to cook at home.
Yeah.
By the time we've been getting home lately, it's just like, it's just, yeah.
I often wonder about that with people in the restaurant industry, and when you cook for other people so much, is it hard to cook for yourselves at home?
I don't find it so. It's right now it's just a time thing. Mm-hmm. But we love to cook at home, and that's where we try out ideas. We try ideas out on each other instead of before we put things on the menu, and we have a lot of fun doing that.
And actually, a lot of the menu items that we have, we've tried at home even before this brewery was online, and so a lot of them are just from trial and error cooking at home. And one example would be the spiced pistachios that we have on the menu. And Jennifer lived in New Mexico for a while in Albuquerque, and her dad lives there now. And so occasionally we go down there, we get to try all these different ingredients that we're not used to having around here. And and one of them is a quick story. We went to a grocery store one day. We were just on our own and out looking around town. And it's called Pro's Ranch Market. And basically it's this huge grocery store. The meat counter is probably 20, 30 yards long alone. And they have things like cow's heads in there and all kinds, just things you just normally don't see in meat stores around here. And then they have a little cafeteria area with Spanish soap operas on the TV. And they have a mariachi band walking through. And they make their own tortillas there. But we got some dry green chili powder that they make, a local company makes down there. And now we use that in a combination of other spices in our warm spice pistachios. And it's just one of those things we love to eat at home. And now we have found out it goes great with beer, too.
Are these shelled pistachios?
Yes.
And then you just toss them in spice?
We warm them in a saute pan with some extra virgin olive oil and just warm them through and sprinkle some spice that we pre-mix and sprinkle it over it and serve it.
And how long does it take for them to just
warm? Yeah. We just put just enough olive oil to just lightly coat them, and that'll help warm them, but it also helps the spice stick to it as well. So it's just barely, like, just a drop or two to an order. And it doesn't take very long. You have to make sure that the heat doesn't get too hot, that they burn. And when we're actually done warming them, we actually let the pan cool a little bit. And then we'll sprinkle the spice on it, because if your pan's too hot still, the spices will burn a bit, so, yeah.
That sounds like a great bar snack.
It has been so far, yeah. It really was made for beer.
Yeah.
It really was. And it's just one of those things you can sit there and eat and conversate and drink beer. So, yeah.
Perfect combination.
So it sounds like you're kind of focusing a little bit on seafood at this restaurant. I mean, with the connection with Bornstein's that you have, is that something that you're familiar with cooking a lot? Is that a focus that you guys have had in the past? I mean, it seems like in this area, it's so hard not to focus on seafood because there's so, I mean, but then I also understand too that, you know, a lot of the seafood that's harvested around here, that's brought in, kind of bypasses the local area and goes straight to, you know, Portland or other places. And
it does in some respects. Yeah. So I would, you know, I would encourage anybody if they're able to get it directly from the processor to do it. We're happy and fortunate to have this relationship with Bornstein's to where we can get it the day of or next day,
mm-hmm.
Which is just really nice for us and anybody else who's able to do it. Mm-hmm. So, but seafood's always, you know, for the last 15 years been a big part of what I did. I was at the Seafood Center here in Astoria, and we taught seafood cooking classes, and we did demonstrations, all kinds of stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, and catered using seafood. So Jennifer and I did that for 11 years, roughly.
Catering, yeah.
Out of the Seafood Consumer Center, which was a nonprofit. So we were funded by industry and wherever we could get a grant, actually. Yeah.
What do you think are some of the biggest misconceptions or challenges about cooking with seafood? Because I will confess that I am a terrible seafood cook. Fish just terrifies me. I'm just so convinced that I'm going to destroy it that I'm almost paralyzed with fear, and I just end up not cooking it because I just, I'm going to overcook it. It's going to be terrible. I mean, so how do people get over that fear?
The saying is just threaten it with heat. Don't actually apply.
And I think it's true. I think people tend to overcook it.
Yeah.
If anything, and then obviously it isn't as good overcooked when they try it. So usually if it's a fish fillet or something, kind of the rule of thumb is, they say is 10 minutes per inch of thickness, but I like to go 8, particularly with salmon, because even once it's out of the pan or the oven, it continues to cook a little bit. And I've always thought that salmon was best a little rare. I keep trying. Don't give up.
Well, and like anything else, quality of the ingredient is really important.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine. So, what would you say is one of the most accessible ways to cook fish? If you're not super familiar with cooking fish, like what's a good one to start with?
I would just start with pan frying it. You know, just like season it with salt and pepper to begin with, and dust it in some flour or rice flour if you're gluten free.
Yeah,
and. I tend not to use butter when pan frying. I'll use an olive oil or usually olive oil because I like the taste of it. And always make sure that your oil's hot before you add it to the pan.
Okay.
And then don't move it around.
Yeah, don't play with it too much. And you'll start to see the sides of the fillet kind of cook up around the sides. And that's usually a good indication that... it's ready to turn, and only turn it once.
Don't turn it more than that.
And then when you do flip it, tilt your pan.
My mistakes are coming out. It's hard to come out as a person who doesn't know how to cook fish in a region like this. It's tough. It's embarrassing.
It just takes practice. Oh. It's just like anything else.
Okay.
It just takes
practice. You're definitely inspiring me.
Because I'm not a great farmer. Yeah. See, you're a good farmer.
No. It's good. Well, I want to thank you guys so much for joining us and tell people how they can find you. Is there a phone number, website? How can they find the restaurant?
Buoybeer.com.
Buoybeer.com. Yeah. Okay.
And we're also on Facebook and Twitter. So.
Okay. Well, thank you guys so much
for joining us.
We're really, really excited, and I can't wait to come and taste, especially this pistachio. Sounds so awesome.
Look forward to seeing you.
Thanks. So we want to let you guys know a little bit about some upcoming events. On March 13th at 7 p.m., the Lower Columbia Diversity Project and North Coast Food Web are presenting We Are What We Eat, Connecting Food and Citizenship with Wendy Willis, who's the Executive Director of the Policy Consensus Initiative at Portland State University, and that's taking place at the Judge Guy Boynton Building, 7 p.m.
And also on March 13th, North Coast Food Web is joining the Astoria Co-op to co-sponsor Beers to Your Health at the Fort George Brewery. Explore turning your garden into an edible landscape with Dixie and Scott Edwards of Watershed Garden Works. And the doors open at 6 o'clock, and the program begins at 7.
It's going to be a busy night for North Coast Food Web.
It is indeed. And a big thank you tonight to our engineer, Marianne. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Marianne. And thank you so much, Eric and Jennifer, for joining us. It's been great. It's really inspiring. It's wonderful to see another business like this opening up in Astoria. We're becoming a great center for good food and good drink.
Great. Awesome. Thanks for
having us. Thank you so much. And thanks for joining us on today's Food Talk, fresh conversations about local food on the North Coast.
And this show will be also available as a podcast at coastradio.org. Stickin'.